ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's over. Believe it, Knicks fans, for the first time in 27 years, the New York Knicks are going to the NBA Finals. The dream season continues, and hopes of ending a decades-long championship drought are very much alive.
As a city, New York likes to believe it's the center of the universe. As a hoops team, it understands that that has very much not been the case for quite some time. They have been diabolical. They've been beyond a joke. 1999, that was the last time they made the NBA League Finals. Well, now, they're back. They're chasing their first title since 1973, and their fans include some of the biggest celebs on earth. Their team is driven by a whole nobody believes in us mentality, and while the players are paid millions, they've got this whole blue-collar ethos thing going for them. We're going deep on a story that's as much cultural as sport. Let's get around the Knicks. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Phil Murphy covers the NBA for ESPN. Phil, there's some emotion wrapped into this one. I mean, we're seeing celebrities like Timothée Chalamet going crazy courtside, and he's totemic of the broader picture. I mean, we've got the NYPD preparing for the city to absolutely erupt. Can you help us understand how big this is, not only for Knicks fans, but for the city of New York?
Yeah, for the Knicks, this kind of came up out of nowhere. They've had great teams before and promise for decades and rebuilds and re-rebuilds. And this was a team in early January that was sputtering. They were in a 2-11 stretch, and funny enough, the morning of a 31-point loss to the Pistons, so they lost by 31 points after James Dolan said this.
Getting to the finals, we absolutely got to do,
yep.
Right? Winning the finals, we should win.
And he was laughed out of town. And because at that point, they were the fourth best team in the East. The Celtics had been gaining traction. The Pistons were the best team in the regular season. And there was just doubt around the team's longevity. And here they are. I mean, the product we're seeing is the best 11-game stretch in NBA history in terms of point differential. The plus 262 scoring margin the Knicks have had in the playoffs has never been seen before.
Shamet fires away. Shamet knocks down another one. It's a bludgeoning here in game four.
And you put that against the backlight of the New York pressure cooker that is that media market where it's only the highest standard of success. They expect every team to be the Yankees every year, and many don't. I know the Brooklyn Nets are a thing, but they only moved to Brooklyn from New Jersey a few years ago. For the longest time, New York was a one basketball team town, and outside of the immediate borough of Brooklyn, and even in it, I would say it's a 95-5 split in terms of support for the Knicks. So you have the biggest city in America, one of the biggest cities in the world, one of the most pressure situations in the world, and they're playing the statistically the best basketball in terms of point differential we've ever seen. And now they're in the finals for the first time in a quarter century. I mean, it is a perfect storm of excitement and fervor. And you throw on top of that, there's a World Cup in world football coming to America in a matter of weeks. And New York City is the host city for the final. New Jersey Transit is being shut down the day of game six from 5 to 8 p.m. local in order to accommodate World Cup traffic. So if the Knicks, just to say, win a NBA title that day, people can't go anywhere but the street. God bless NYPD. They're going to be outnumbered. I mean, it's going to be a party unlike what we've ever seen in American sport.
Incredible to see that turnaround. I mean, this is a city that sees itself as the best, and to be a joke for so long, it's got to hurt. They're laughing now. The talisman's been Jalen Brunson from an on-court perspective, and I feel like he kind of embodies how Knicks fans like to see themselves. Confident, gritty, you know, a little bit disrespected, good in a jam. Is he the key to breaking a title drought stretching way back to 1973, or is it actually the dull old thing, teamwork?
No, I think if they do it, it's going to take more of the A1 level play of Jalen Brunson. Yeah, I don't want to dismiss it. This is a guy who won multiple national championships at Villanova and then wasn't a first-round pick in the NBA draft because, oh, he's not long, he's not super athletic, and he's not great defensively. And all of those things remain to be true. He's just so comfortable under pressure and such a great, great facilitator. Knows what every player around him needs to excel, and he makes everybody around him greater.
Cavs might want a timeout if he scores.
Brunson, three-pointer, puts it in! Captain Clutch has come alive.
And even in Dallas, he spent his first four seasons in Dallas, and he was a teammate of, you know, my one of my co-hosts, Ryan Brokaw. He was solid, but he was a bench player, was Brunson. And then the offseason came, and the Mavericks were really conservative with their offer and for him. And okay, he took a deal with the Knicks, which now looks like a bargain, but at the time it was an eye-opening deal. And just the ownership and the management saw something that we hadn't yet. He gets a starting role, he gets the keys. And he's not a New York guy. He's from Chicago, but man, does he embody New York point guard play. New York's famous for its street ball scene and Rucker Park and all those things. And so much of that, it's not around bigs. It's around point guards, guys who facilitate and play and are gritty and are willing to dive for a loose ball and make guys around them better or more willing. They love making a great pass that leads to a basket.
Brunson and Mitchell. Here comes the double team. Brunson looking, finds Clarkson. Shot clock at four. Back to Brunson. On the drive, throws it up, and Robinson with the flush.
And that's what Jalen Brunson does. So New York has really adopted him as its own, and he is the engine for this team. So when they go on these spurts that really is a killer instinct in putting games away, it's Brunson who does it. And it's that intangible factor that we kind of, you know, roll our eyes at, but it's valid. He's a winner. He did it in the high school level. He did it at University of Villanova. And now he's doing it now that he's leading a team in the Knicks. And it's instilling belief that there were some people that thought the Western Conference Finals was a de facto finals. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think the Knicks are playing the best basketball right now. And they're objectively going to be more rested once the NBA Finals starts.
The coaching layer is fascinating. I mean, many were shocked when Tom Thibodeau was sacked last year. Mike Brown comes in, a guy who was let go by the Cavs owner not once, but twice. Now he's swept them to make the league finals. I mean, how and why is he taking them to the next level?
Well, I think Tibbs deserves credit for having the vision, but Tom Thibodeau was an old school coach, and he had a famously short bench with the Knicks. And you're seeing some of these great teams, the Spurs and Thunder, namely, who go 14, 15 deep, and they have contributions everywhere, even if it's a guy who only plays 10 minutes. Tibbs was going seven deep on his team, and Josh Hart was averaging like 45 minutes a game. It was outrageous. And the Knicks were playing decent basketball. They were two or three seed in the East, and then they would just get to the playoffs and run out of steam. And I think ownership saw that that's Tibbs's style, for better or worse. And Mike Brown's somebody who could manage minutes better. And yeah, he got cast out of Cleveland twice, but he was able to understand he has a superstar. He coached LeBron James in Cleveland. And I'm not saying Jalen Brunson's that level. He's not. But understanding, okay, this guy's the centerpiece. This is instead of a point forward, a point guard. I need you to run the team, but I need contributions from everywhere. And I just need to know how to pull the right strings. And he is. I mean, he has Landry Shamet coming off the bench. And the guy just set an NBA playoff record for a three-point percentage in a round.
Shamet, three-pointer, bang! Landry Shamet is now 12 of 13 from three-point range.
He missed one three-pointer all series. So much of that the credit goes to Mike Brown and, frankly, the killer instinct of the Knicks in that sometimes teams get up 3-0 and they take their foot off the gas. And okay, now a series goes five or six games. The Knicks, when they had an opportunity to close out the Hawks in round one, the Sixers in round two, the Cavs in round three, we had never had a team in NBA playoff history close three series with three successive 20-point wins. The Knicks beat each of those teams by 30 points. This has serious potential that the Knicks could actually pull this off. It's made this NBA final suddenly extraordinarily compelling.
Owner James Dolan. It's no secret he was despised for a long time by many of the Knicks faithful. Is that vibe shifted or is there still some animus?
Oh, no. I think at least for this time, the hostilities have dissipated. And so much of it was because he has a very hands-on approach. He's very forward with the media and candid for better or worse. But there was always this promise of, oh, if we bring Carmelo Anthony to New York, if we can get so-and-so to New York and just down the line and just all these failed experiments. And Isaiah Thomas as a coach GM, which was an unmitigated disaster, he's had some bad moves. But the NBA's evolved a few times, and it's evolving again before our eyes. I mean, we looked, you know, if you and I were talking 4 years ago, it's the three-point shot. If you just, you know, analytics say just keep chucking up threes and you'll be in great shape. And for a couple of years, that was the case. And now you look in the last eight teams in the NBA, only one ranked top 11 in three-point attempts. We're seeing teams that are more selective with a three-point shot. You have to be able to shoot it very well, but it can't just be threes or bust. That's what happened to the Celtics. So his philosophy of yeah, we're not, the Knicks aren't a perfect team. Their interior defense is weak. Jalen Brunson isn't a great on-ball defender, but they bring in the right pieces, an OG Anunoby to back up Jalen Brunson, or the ability to get Mitchell Robinson in the game to deter some traffic in the lane. And just these little things that at the surface aren't huge moves, but the collective has made it so their team that it's not that they don't have weaknesses, but they're able to mask them very well. And they have the freshest legs in the league. It's showing that, okay, maybe it's the mad genius of James Dolan, at least for this season. But I think, frankly, the Knicks are playing with house money now. Even if they go and they get, maybe not if they get swept, but if they lose in five games to a superior on paper Spurs or Thunder team, the animus wouldn't be there, and there would be a lot of goodwill heading toward next season. But yeah, if we're having this conversation a year from now and the Knicks, you know, win 50 games and get bounced in the first round, then yeah, that's the thing about New York, man. You got to come every day, every year, and if you don't, then people have short memories, for better or worse.
Just finally, that celebrity front row, Timothy Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, Michael J. Fox, Spike Lee, big names. They've got a heavy presence in the culture. They all want a ticket. So how much is it going to cost to get into Madison Square Garden?
The get-in price is over $3,000 right now for games 3, 4, and 6. I mean, there are people who, you know, clearly have some kind of company seat and they're chucking a seat online for $1 million. It's not going to sell for that. But it was easier to get into the Super Bowl than it is to get a ticket currently in terms of get-in price for any of the Knicks home games. And game 3, which is the first home game the Knicks will have in that series, and again, their first home game in an NBA Finals in, what, 27 years, it's on pace to be the most expensive ticket in NBA history.
Might be worth it if they can get themselves the title. Phil Murphy, thanks for your time, mate.
Of course, Pat. Good chatting to you.
Headlines. Yesterday, we covered the sacking of Brad Scott from Essendon and wondered if James Hoob would really, seriously, actually be a candidate for the Bombers' coaching role. The man who led them during the infamous supplement saga, which is still plaguing the club, has told us that, yes, he will be chasing the role.
If the club came to me and said, would you be part of that process, I would definitely say yes. That is something I'd love to be part of. Pit my wares against the other coaches and seeing off the best man for the job. And if I'm the best man for the job, yes, I would love to do that job.
Scott also spoke for the first time and revealed he wanted to trade Zach Merritt in the off-season after the captain requested to leave the club.
My view was that we should let him go, and but the club's view was that we should keep him. So again, my view is what the club's view is, and I fronted that.
Australian tennis is used to struggling on the French Open clay, but there's been enormous wins at Roland Garros. Kim Birrell has beaten fifth seed Jesper Gulli in 3 sets. Adam Walton knocked over former world number one Daniil Medvedev in 5 earlier in the day. Elsewhere, Naomi Osaka followed up her Australian Open jellyfish look with what seemed to be a kind of black ball gown at first, but then she shed layers to reveal a kind of gold sequined dress. I'm sorry if I've used incorrect terminology there. She also won her match in straight sets over Laura Siegmund of Germany. Finally, Origin 1 gets underway Wednesday night. Remember to catch it live and free on ABC. Listen, both teams, how are they going to cope with the rapid pace that has been rugby league in 2026? Can Nathan Cleary and Ethan Strange steer the Blues to victory? Or will Sam Walker, Cam Munster and Kalen Ponga just have too much firepower for Queensland? We will see, and we're going to cover it all on Thursday's show. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to ESPN, House of Highlights, WFAN, Channel 9 and Channel 7 for the extra audio used in this episode.